Hey, everybody, this is Tom Sharpling, and welcome to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. Basically, this is a podcast we're going to do every other week, giving you a bite-sized version of all the mirth and mayhem that goes on every week on the best show on WFMU. So please check out this exciting clip. FMU, you're on the air. Are we not working? Hold on. We're trying. Oh, there it is. Ah, I had it, and then I lost it. Hold on. Hold on. FMU, you're on the air. No? Oh, phone system. Let's try it again. FMU, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
There we go. Hey.
Had a little phone tomfoolery there, I guess.
Yeah, I'm just, we're doing some new stuff with the phones, and occasionally there's little glitches and whatnot.
Fascinating.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try
better. I wasn't being sarcastic at all.
Oh, it didn't sound like it.
Oh. Hey, I don't want to get off on the wrong foot here.
Okay, we'll clean the slate right
okay.
now.
Okay. Want to start over?
Sure.
Hi, Tom.
Okay. Hi, how are you?
Tom, my name's Brian Hodenstein. I'm calling to see about the availability you might have to appear in a photo spread for Rolling Stone magazine.
A photo? Yes. Well, let me, hold on. What would it be for?
Well, it's an article called DJ Nation.
Okay.
And it's going to be highlighting the best and the most happening radio DJs in the country.
The most happening radio DJs in the country.
Yes.
And I'm being considered for that?
You'd be in the shoot, yes.
Okay.
So you're up for it.
Yes.
Question.
Uh-huh.
How much do you think you'd want for that?
Of what?
How much are you asking?
What do you mean, money-wise?
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd get paid for stuff like that.
Well, normally you don't.
Uh-huh.
I guess I should explain to you the concept of the picture.
Okay.
Basically, it's going to be you in a photo with another DJ.
Uh-huh.
And his name is Mr. Ronald Tex Fuqua. He's from FM 103 in El Paso, Texas.
What was his name again?
Ronald Tex Fuqua.
Ronald Tex Fuqua.
Yes.
I think I actually know who that is.
He goes by the name Hot Rockin' Ronnie also.
Yes, exactly. That's where I know him.
Well, in this picture, he will be branding an HRR brand into one of your bare buttocks.
Why?
Well, the caption will also be reading, Hot Rockin' Ronnie Fuqua takes down another lame DJ. WUFM DJ Tom the Squid Sharpling.
Well, that's just really not accurate at all, though, because for like 100 reasons. Like, he's not taking me down at all.
In the picture he is, though, yes.
Yeah, in the picture, I don't care about the picture. That's not accurate. I'm not... He's in El Paso now. We had a bit of a rivalry, but it seems like it's definitely a thing of the past because he's kind of fallen off the map a little bit. And, well, why would Rolling Stone also want to write about a DJ from El Paso?
Well, Tom, everybody has their price.
Uh-huh.
Rolling Stone has their price. Basically, Mr. Fuqua is paying them $200,000 to run this thing.
So he's paying Rolling Stone $200,000.
Exactly.
To do like a fake article?
Well, those are your words. See, Mr. Fuqua just inherited about $500,000 from an uncle who just croaked.
Uh-huh.
So he he's got the money to burn, and anything is possible when you hire Anything Inc.
Anything Inc.?
Yeah.
And what is that?
It's a company that I co-own.
Okay, so you're doing this on behalf of him?
Exactly.
Okay, so is this like some sort of like PR firm or something?
No, Tom, we're facilitators.
Okay. What do you mean by being a facilitator?
We make things happen, you know. Our motto is basically, if money is no object, we won't object.
Okay, that's a catchy slogan. Yeah.
We have it on mugs.
Okay. I guess, well, congratulations on that. And but I don't understand why you're repping somebody for a magazine spread.
Well, because he wants to make it happen, and we make things happen. You need 100 copies of the new Thom Yorke album with full artwork on 8-track tape? You come to us. You want your den changed to an exact replica of your junior high locker room, complete with shower, locker, urinals, and your actual gym coach? You come to us. You want to take out someone's appendix, even though you've had no medical training at all? You come to us. We'll make it happen. You want to go camping for a month in the Alaskan wilderness with Henry Winkler, Maya Angelou, and Ace Frehley? Come to us. We'll make it happen.
So you're just like some sort of, like, middleman or something that facilitates? Well, like, how do you make stuff happen, though? Those things sound pretty elaborate.
Well, like I said, everybody has their price.
So the Thom Yorke album.
Right.
Is that something you've done?
Oh, yeah.
You put that on?
8-track cassette.
Who ordered that?
Well, there's a store in Japan. In Tokyo, that specializes in that sort of thing. So we made it happen for them.
Uh-huh.
It's 100 tapes.
Okay.
And the actual cost of each tape was $700 to actually manufacture.
So each 8-track costs $700.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
If you're into it, it's totally worth it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's only money.
So you actually facilitated that?
Oh, I do, just like my great-grandfather intended us to do.
Your great-grandfather started your company?
Exactly.
Okay, like how long ago was that?
1902, and my great-grandfather's name was Bradford Hottenstein.
Uh-huh, and you are his... What was your first name again?
Pardon me?
What was your name?
Brian.
Brian, okay,
yes.
And you... So Brad, okay, so you inherited his company over the years?
Well, it's been passed on. Basically, in a nutshell, Bradford was a poor day laborer working on Andrew Carnegie's estate in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And one day he overheard Mr. Carnegie tell a friend how joyous it would be and how he would pay $100 to watch a grown man dressed as a young boy ride a unicycle into a massive pile of horse excrement.
Oh, okay.
And my great grandfather, he leapt into action because he was a go-to guy. He did it. If he felt it, he did it.
Uh huh.
And so basically, he snuck off the grounds, knocked a passing man off a unicycle, and then mugged a young boy walking home from school and took his school clothes.
And then he performed that stunt for Andrew Carnegie.
Tom.
Yes.
Can you imagine Mr. Carnegie's surprise when he heard my great-grandpa's voice coming from the stable area? Look at me, dear sir! Look at me!
Can I imagine the what? Was it, so he loved it.
Oh, of course he loved it. Basically, what happened was Mr. Carnegie, he was carried to the stable area because at that point he had sort of figured that walking was sort of beneath him.
Okay.
So he had people cart him around. And he was placed about 10 feet from this massive pile of horse dung. It was about to be used for fertilizer.
Uh-huh.
And when my great-grandpa came riding out on the unicycle and dove headfirst into the pile,
uh-huh,
Mr. Carnegie is said to have collapsed in a fit of laughter.
Okay, so wow. So that was the origin of your company.
Yep, and he got $100 for it. And from there on out, my great-grandfather was Mr. Carnegie's go-to guy. If Mr. Carnegie wanted to eat a salad made of pages from a rare version of the King James Bible,
mm-hmm,
great-grandpa made it happen.
So
if he wanted Wilbur and Orville Wright to pilot an exact replica of their plane made out of marzipan. He made it happen.
Really? Your uncle was like a real, I mean, not your uncle, your great-grandfather was like a real go-getter.
Oh, totally. And he passed it down to his son, and now me, and now we run Anything Inc.
Uh-huh. And the company is kind of doing the similar thing?
Oh, totally. We've been doing it for years. You know Ty Cobb, right?
The baseball player.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, he hired my great-grandfather in 1926 to engineer this incredible event.
What was that?
Well, by that point, Mr. Cobb was a very rich man.
Mm-hmm.
And in a kind of flight of fancy, of whimsy, he wanted to see what it would be like if a Zeppelin filled with strawberry preserves collided with another one filled with whipped cream, and see what happened if the entire content spilled out onto a regulation minor league baseball field that was about to have a game played on it made of sponge cake.
So there was a baseball field below.
Yes.
Made out of sponge cake.
Yes.
And there were two Zeppelins.
Yep. Hovering above it.
And they collided,
and they exploded,
and it must have made some sort of strawberry shortcake.
Exactly, the world's biggest.
So that was that one of your grandfather's or great grandfather's biggest claims to fame?
Well, it's one of them. You know Howard Hughes?
Sure.
Well, in 1940, he hired the company to stage a fitness challenge between Adolf Hitler and Pope Pius XII.
Hold on. What year was that?
1940.
I think Hitler might have been a little busy to have been in a fitness challenge.
Tom, what was one of the first things I said to you in our conversation? Everybody has a price.
Okay. So Hitler has a price.
He needed that dough to keep those tanks a-rolling.
Uh-huh. So it's... So your grandfather took Hitler's money?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. That's horrible.
No, he paid Hitler.
Oh, okay, you're right. Oh, that's even worse.
From Mr. Hughes.
So Howard Hughes wanted to see I got so good. You're talking about all these bigwigs.
Yeah.
Okay, Howard Hughes wanted to see Pope Pius and Adolf Hitler in a competition, in a fitness competition.
Right.
That consisted of what?
Oh, you know, pull-ups, push-ups, obstacle course, rope climb, stuff like that, sit-ups. Truth be told,
uh-huh.
They were both pretty terrible at it.
So how much money did Howard Hughes pay to Hitler?
I believe Hitler got $2 million, which was a ton back then.
Yes, that's a lot of money.
The Pope, I think, got like maybe 1.5, although he thinks he got the same as Hitler.
Well, this is just disgusting.
You know what's odder?
What?
It was filmed.
How come I've never heard of this until now?
Because the film was cremated along with Hughes when he died.
Really?
Yeah, only one copy of it.
So that's the scope that this thing was on. He did all this stuff, but there was only one filmed copy of it.
Exactly. Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you probably think the last show the four original Beatles played together was that rooftop thing in the early 69, Get Back?
Yeah, for Let It Be.
Yeah.
It wasn't. No, it clearly was.
No, it wasn't.
I'm somewhat of a Beatles buff.
Okay.
And
well, yeah. You're one of the, you know, people on the outside.
So what please indulge me. Tell me what the last Beatles show was.
You ready to have your mind blown?
Yes.
You strapped in?
Yeah, I'm strapped
in. Okay. Well, in 1978, a Montana billionaire contacted us about reforming the Beatles for his son's wedding. and we did it.
Okay.
They played for 2 hours on a tiny bandstand in this old VFW hall in Butte.
The Beatles did?
Yep.
All four of them?
Yep.
And how much money did they get?
It cost this guy $30 million. 78, that was a lot of money.
That is a lot. Well, I still don't believe they... I don't have it, but
somewhere there exists one tape of this thing, and they sound pretty good playing Baker Street.
They played Baker Street?
Yeah, it was all covers of the day. They didn't do any of their own stuff, as per the Sun's instructions.
Well, that sounds just, that's just crazy. So, who would hire the Beatles? How much were they paid again?
$30 million.
$30 million to play for 2 hours,
but
no Beatles songs.
Don't Look Back was pretty good, too.
Don't Look Back is what?
Boston.
So they played Boston.
And they did this incredibly slow version of this song called Something in the Night.
I'm not even sure what that is.
Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, that's right. It's a really slow song on Darkness of the Edge of Town.
You know what they rock the hardest on?
What?
Hold the Line.
By Toto.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my. And you heard this stuff?
I heard it. I haven't. I mean, I was in the room with the man who was playing it. I can't name his name. But, of course, I couldn't make a copy because there's only one, and that would just, it would sort of upset the Earth's axis, I think, if that tape got out.
If it became clear that the Beatles had performed
a
show in the 70s.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of keeping things on the QT,
uh-huh.
We just completed two of our biggest undertakings.
Well, what are they?
Well, you know Bill Gates, right?
Sure.
From Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
Well, Mr. Gates has always been, like, physically, I guess, non-imposing is the word I'm looking for.
Yeah, he's not a very physical guy.
Well, and that's always bothered him.
Okay.
He plays it like it's not a big deal, but it is. He's a huge fan of the flick Roadhouse.
The movie Roadhouse.
You know, Swayze.
Yeah, it's a Patrick Swayze movie where he's... Like a cooler or like a head bouncer.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Gates hired us to make him the star of that.
What do you mean? Like put him into Roadhouse?
Sort of. I mean, like, we didn't film it or anything. He lived it.
How did he live it?
Well, basically, we created that town.
The town from Roadhouse, I think it was like in Kansas or something.
Exactly. We bought this land in Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And we totally recreated the town, got Sam Elliott, Swayze, Red West, even Jeff Healey.
Uh-huh.
You know, to kind of reprise their roles. John Doe was unavailable due to his touring schedule, so we had to get Bill Bateman, who was the drummer for the Blasters.
Okay, so I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yeah. So pretty good actor.
Okay, so you got all of these people into this replica of this town.
Oh, yeah, and the people who are the extras,
uh-huh.
They had to live in that town for a month. That's how long this thing actually played out.
So it was like a movie set?
No, it's like a town, a full-functioning town. These people had jobs. There were supermarkets where they went, and they just lived. But they always had to be in character, you know, because they never knew when Mr. Gates would show up to bully them.
To bully them?
Yeah.
Why was he... I thought he was... So he was the bad guy?
Yeah, Brad Wellesley.
Yeah.
Ben Gazzara's character.
So he showed up in this town.
Yeah.
And he went up against... You said Patrick Swayze was there?
Yeah.
So he went up and like fought Patrick Swayze?
Oh, yeah. He even drove a huge pickup truck through a car dealership that we set up.
Just like in the movie.
Exactly, yeah. And on the final day,
uh-huh.
It all came down between Mr. Gates and Swayze, you know, Dalton.
Yeah.
And it ended just the opposite of how it actually plays out in the movie.
Because he gets killed in the end of the movie.
Right.
Well, how did it end when you guys restaged it?
Well, Mr. Gates killed all the good guys. Why?
Well, that's kind of creepy. I mean, when you say kill,
yeah.
Since this is obviously being staged on a grand scale, what does kill entail?
What do you think it does?
I mean, what was he doing?
Have you seen Red West in any anything lately? No.
No, I guess I haven't.
Have you seen any tour dates for the Jeff Healey Band?
I guess not, no.
When was the last time you heard one of those commercials that had Sam Elliott doing his deep voice stuff?
It has been a while.
It's been a while, hasn't
and,
it?
And when was this recreation?
Pardon me?
When did you do this?
It was about 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they actually got killed.
Well.
Well, I mean, how is that how is that allowed?
Well, $78 million buys a lot of silence.
For murder.
I think it says that in ye old scripture.
This is just
Hey, Tom.
Yeah?
We actually did film something, though, recently.
What was that?
Like, we didn't film the gate stuff, but we did film this thing I'm about to mention.
Uh-huh.
You heard about those three factory workers in Indiana who won the lottery last year, like $450 million?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, one of these guys, Kenny,
uh-huh,
he contacted us about this movie script that he'd written. It's called Dr. Reginald Spearmint and His Magical Fart Machine.
Okay.
And this thing is not good. Not good by any means. And pardon the pun, it's a real stinker. In a nutshell, it's about this man who can't, you know.
Okay, yeah, sure.
He can't, you know.
Sure.
Pass gas, basically.
Okay, yeah,
and it
yeah,
basically
yeah.
ruins his life. He can't get any relief.
So that's what this script is about.
Exactly. So
ugh,
one day to, you know,
kind
of get happening, he buys this can of baked beans, and he eats all of it in hopes that he can, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I get
it. But
the
beans are rancid.
Okay.
And he passes out.
Uh-huh.
And next thing he knows, he's in this weird underground bunker. And hovering over him is this kind of Wizard of Oz-ish kind of guy. And the guy straps him into this weird contraption that, well, basically, it passes gas for him.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to get any more in detail than
please,
that, but
please,
it basically changes the guy's life for good. Todd is the main character. And Todd enters these contests, and he becomes, like, the best at doing that in the world. And he's, like, this champion
so he's a champ. Okay.
Okay. It's kind of like Willy Wonka meets that Descendants album, Enjoy.
Oh. Okay.
And so Kenny, you know, the millionaire guy that won the lottery, he contacted us about filming this thing. Not just filmed.
Uh-huh.
Filmed with a capital F.
What does that mean?
Like masterpiece style. He wanted Tak Fujimoto to be the cinematographer who did, like, I think he did, like, you know, Dancing with Wolves and that stuff. John Williams to score it. And get this. He wanted Brian De Palma, Scorsese, and Francis Coppola to direct it.
Uh-huh.
Not each guy taking an act, but all three directing everything at the same time.
So there'd be, like, three movies.
No, it's one movie.
Uh-huh.
But three, you know, massive thumbprints on it.
Three.
You're never going to believe the cast we got.
Okay, who'd you get?
Playing Todd.
Uh-huh.
Jim Carrey.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Renee Zellweger as the girl he wants to impress with his abilities.
Uh-huh.
George the Animal Steele as Dr. Reginald Spearmint.
The wrestler.
Robert De Niro as Raticus, Dr. Spearman's half-man, half-pig henchman.
Raticus?
Yeah.
Okay.
G.G. Allen is the evil Mr. Smear. He has the opposite problem of what Todd had originally.
I don't even want to know. Okay. And, well, he's been dead for how many years?
Oh, yeah, probably 8.
So how on earth was he in the movie?
We CGI'd him in. So, he actually looks better in this than he did, you know, right before he passed on.
Uh-huh. Well, he didn't. He looked terrible before he passed on.
Well, what, you saw him at the...
The gas station?
The gas station?
No, I was not at the gas station.
I heard that was a good show.
I've seen footage of the home stretch there for Gigi.
My nephew, Ricky, punched him in the shoulder during that show.
Oh, that's impressive.
Guess what Gigi did to him?
I'm going to just take a pass on that one.
He kissed him.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that's nice.
Below the belt.
Oh, okay. Ugh.
So, anyway, there's this great Battle of the Band scene that happens in Dr. Reginald Spearman and the FM.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers go up against Agnostic Front.
So they have, like, a Battle of the Bands?
Oh, yeah. See, they're the two kind of victors out of all the bands that battled that day.
Uh-huh.
And there's a tie, and each band has to play one of the other band's songs.
Okay. So
Agnostic Front plays this kind of thrash version of Don't Do Me Like That.
Uh-huh.
And Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers do kind of a folky version of United Blood.
Okay.
And then they all jam on this song that's been written especially for the film by Elvis Costello and Burt Bacharach.
And what was that song called? That's actually the name of the song.
Yeah, it's spelled F-F-F-F-F-T.
Okay, so this guy, Ricky,
uh-huh,
who financed this whole thing.
Kenny,
or whatever. Okay, sorry. He is, it sounds insane.
He's focused. He knows what he wants.
So he made this whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, with Coppola and Scorsese and De Palma directing simultaneously.
He has $1 left of his winnings now.
Uh-huh. So when is this movie coming out?
That's kind of up in the air. He's looking for a distro, but amazingly, it's been hard, even with all those people in it.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't really drawn to the story,
uh-huh,
I guess, so... Like I said, he has a dollar left, so he's trying to hit up the other guys that won the lottery.
To get them to pony up,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
So.
Well, I guess we'll be looking for that in the theater soon. Well, I mean, I got a lot of radio show to do here, so I appreciate you kind of giving us some insight into a company I'd never heard about.
Oh, sure, sure. Hey, I want to run something by you.
Uh-huh.
This guy Fuqua?
Yeah.
His story?
Kind of a washed out DJ, kind of
like a real dink.
Yeah.
He keeps calling me son in our conversation.
Uh-huh.
And I hate that.
Yeah.
I'm just putting this out there for you.
Uh-huh.
If you could pony up like 85 foul, we could work something out where Fuqua is, kind of rendered, he can't move.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd get to deliver the final blow, if you know what I mean.
So I would kill him.
Exactly. You said it.
Well, I don't have any interest in that.
Well, he called you a total girl in our conversations and also said that you had stink breath and that also you require the aid of a nightlight just to get to sleep because you have these recurring nightmares where you're being chased by Danielle Spencer.
Who's Danielle Spencer?
D from What's Happening.
Okay, that's news to me.
He said that. He said in the dream she's trying to chase you down to give you a hand massage.
Oh, well, that's not true.
Okay.
I want nothing to do with him or killing anybody.
We'll give you a cut rate, okay? 40 foul, but you have to chase him down. Our guys will render him, immobile.
Uh-huh.
And, but you're responsible for the actual rendering him unable to get away, and it'll be shot on VHS instead of DVD, like rendered onto a DVD for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll get the only tape of it.
I'm gonna pass.
How about this? $100,000.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, $10,000.
Okay.
You pay us.
Yeah.
You chase. We knock him out. You deliver the final blow. We tape it on audio cassette, but we get to make copies for our own enjoyment.
No, I'm really not interested in killing anybody.
Okay, well, I hope you don't mind that toxic branding iron then.
What do you mean?
Well, what did I just say?
I'm asking you, what do you mean by me not minding that toxic branding iron?
I hope you don't mind it when it goes in your buttocks.
I have...
And the poison seeps in.
Well, I'm not going to agree to work for you guys.
You already have.
I've agreed to work for you.
Yes, by speaking to me over the phone.
Somehow that means I've agreed to work for you.
It certainly does. In Aruba, it does.
Well, I'm not in Aruba.
But I am. And my phone is there. Your voice has reached Aruban soil.
So that's like Aruba law.
Exactly. It's Aruban law, you dunce.
Oh, I'm sorry. Aruban law.
That's right.
So I somehow have violated Aruban law.
Yes, you have.
Well.
Oh, I pity you.
Bring it on, then.
It's coming.
I welcome the charges.
That branding iron is going to be smoking.
Well, I look forward to you trying to do anything. I'm here in America.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there tomorrow with HRR in tow.
Well, again, it's not like I haven't been threatened before.
Well, get used to it. Actually, this will probably be the last time you are threatened.
Okay, because this will be the final threat?
Yes, your death will be coming soon after.
Okay.
Okay.
You know what? At this point, I look forward to it.
Okay, I want you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening to Best Show Gems, the best of the best show on WFMU. If you like what you just heard, the full-length program is done each and every Tuesday night from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen on your radio in the New York, New Jersey area at 91.1 FM or anywhere on the globe at WFMU.org. WFMU.org also has an extensive archiving of all the previous episodes of The Best Show. And you can get more information on the program over at friendsoftom.com. I want to thank a few people, if I could. Martin DeGrell, the producer and compiler of Best Show Gems. Thank you, Martin. Mel Matsuoka, who is the producer of the full-length 3-hour Best Show podcast each and every week, and the protector of the Best Show on WFMU archives. Thank you, Mel. John Worcester, obviously, thank you. Associate producer Mike, and everybody at WFMU, thank you so much. If you like what you just heard, check out the full-length show. You can download the podcast or listen live at WFMU.org.